I'm glad you got out of bed today and made it here in spite of the wonderful weather. And I believe today is a day unlike other Sundays we've had in a long time. And you'll see and hear. But as the stewards are passing out the notes for the morning message, I'd just like to remind you that after the service today, you're all invited to stay for lunch because we're going to have a great leaving celebration. We are leaving this building and going to a new building. And we're going to celebrate that. Somebody was telling me earlier that they were having a conversation with someone who isn't a part of this congregation. They said they were having a celebration. Said, oh, what was the celebration about? Well, they were leaving. And where are you going? And they said, well, we don't know. Oh, okay. So it probably doesn't make sense to some people. But in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 14, the Bible says that God said, I want you to keep this celebration forever. And it was the celebration they had as they were leaving Egypt. They were leaving one spiritual place and one geographical place. And God says, that's the celebration I want you to celebrate forever. So there's a leaving celebration. Next Sunday, we're going to have another celebration with food. I know you lot, you like to eat. But we're going to celebrate a receiving of a new place. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that. But if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts, the 27th chapter. When you have Acts 27 located in your Bible, your tab, your smartphone, maybe you're one of those who has it memorized. Would you all stand to your feet as we pray? Father, I pray today as we gather together to hear you, that you help me to be the vessel you intended for this moment. Thank you for your faithfulness, for what you're about to do here today as we hear your voice. Thank you, Lord, for our journey. Thank you for this facility, this sheep shed that you have provided. And as we continue to celebrate throughout this day, your goodness to us in so many ways while we have gathered here over the last 25 years. Thank you, Lord, for your amazing goodness. Touch every one of us today in a way that, like Israel, we'll never, ever forget. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. If you've ever listened to a message in this building, I'd like to encourage you to listen today, because I believe that God has given me something for you personally. That if you are ready to receive it, and you do receive it, you'll go out of here different. Something happened to me this last week that has to do with you. And I want to tell you about that. And that's why I believe that you're not here today just because you decided this is another Sunday and this is what I do. I go to New Life on Sunday. Or because you're a visitor. Or because you haven't been in a long time and you came. Whatever the reason you came here today, God has a message for you, and I want to tell you exactly how you can receive it. And so I preface the message today with those remarks because they have to do with your own personal life and future and blessing as well as us as a congregation. And so I want us, first of all, to listen to the prophetic word that came to us regarding a building, a sheep shed, moving from this location to another. So just listen for a few seconds.
The building shall be released. Yes. It shall no longer be a perplexity to your spirit and your heart. No longer will you wonder how, when, how, if, that, possible. No longer will that be the conversation in your heart and your mind, oh man of God, for I'm going to give you the key and you're going to turn the lock and you're going to walk into the building. It will be turnkey ready, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Come on, somebody. Praise. Hallelujah.
If you were here last week, I played that same prophetic word, and I gave the context in which it came, and that I was in some special meetings in a church in the States with a couple other ministers, and one of the other ministers, the man who was prophesying to us, was ministering to somebody. He stopped, and then he said, "Now, Pastor Rick, I've got a word for you." And that's the word he gave. He didn't know anything about the building here, our building situation. He didn't know that I had traveled up and down this entire area looking for facilities, engaging estate agents, commercial estate agents, asking people, going to look at buildings, all kinds of things that I've been on the internet for hours, for years in this area, looking for another location. And if you have been here for a number of years, you know we made several attempts to move. And so in that context, that word came. And for me, that was a personal growth point. All of my effort and labor was expressed in what he said there in a few words. The whole building mystery would be resolved as God would do what we sang earlier, what no man can do. And so I'm speaking to us today about faith because I believe that is the way you progress in life. Our educational system today teaches us to progress in life by our education, by our intelligence, by our application to diligence, or whatever other means. But progressing in life is not the same thing as progressing in your career. Many people progress in their career, but not necessarily in life. God says when you become a Christian, old things, the old system is passed away, and it's a whole different way of living. He doesn't say the just shall live by education. He doesn't say the just shall live by logic. He doesn't say the just shall live by science. He doesn't say the just shall live by philosophy. He says the just shall live by faith. If you're going to live successfully, you have to live by faith. And the difficulty is that we have so much training, and our training provides us educated instincts. And we have educated instincts, and we unwittingly, oftentimes, travel down those paths and not the path of faith. And so, the Bible is full of stories of people who did the same. They did all their stuff. And then God said, okay, I'm going to take you to a place where everything you know and everything you have done and could do and might do won't work. I'm going to take you to the Red Sea. You won't be able to go back, and you won't be able to go forward with human energy. And just to remind you, the book that I recommended to you the last couple of Sundays, there'll be the Red Sea Rules. It is available in the bookstore after the service. All of that is to teach us and to show us that God wants us to learn to live a different way in our journey. And if you were here last week, we put on the screen for you a couple of graphics here to show really kind of what your life was like before you came to know Christ and what happened as a result of connecting with God by faith. Ephesians 2 says, "For by grace are ye saved through human..." No. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." Faith. You can't think your way into heaven. You have to exercise faith. Do we have those graphics? Thank you. All right. This is who you were, who I was before we came to know Christ. As your note says, before you had faith, you had nothing. You lived in darkness with no way out. You were as vulnerable and weak as you could possibly be. Your health was subject to change at any moment with some attack. Doesn't matter whether you were 15 or 20 or 90. You had no protection and you had no remedy. Your work life was subject to all the oppressions of the Egyptian system. You were cheated, robbed, and betrayed, and you had no remedy. You were weak in yourself, and you doubted your future, your worth, other people's love for you, and your own ability to succeed. And when trouble came, you only had the world's resources to deal with it. If the world had no lasting solution, you simply suffered through it or died. Trouble, tragedy, and disaster could eat its way into your inner man, and all you could do was cry, complain, hurt, blame, and be angry. Even if you only did it inside yourself. You watched the ones you loved suffer as well with only human words to comfort them. You had no power to change their mourning into dancing. You were powerless, hopeless, weak, defiled beyond cleansing, and sentenced to die while living. Life was trying to make crumbs into substance and make any positive emotion last longer than a few seconds. So that's really kind of what our life was like before we connected with God. We lived in unbelief. We did not have a relationship with God that was created by the exercise of faith. But when you chose to believe, let's put the other one up. You connected with God. That happened because God spoke into your heart, either through somebody's personal testimony and sharing of Christ's work on the cross on your behalf, or you were into a service or an evangelistic meeting. There was some point in which on the inside of you, you heard God speak. And you chose to believe it was God. It happened in a moment. And God and you came to live together. And when God came to live inside you as a result of the exercise of your faith, everything that has to do with God and the abundant life came to live inside of you. And so everything that has to do with a good life comes just as your initial salvation does. It comes by faith. And last week, we talked to you about kind of the first step as a believer. And lots of Bible stories reveal this truth. But in Titus 2 and verse 12, the Scripture says that God teaches us to say no. Everybody say no. To say no to ungodliness. Everything that doesn't belong in my life, the Bible says, say no to it. It doesn't say think no. He says, say no. You got to say no to it. So at some point you said no to living any longer the way you were living, and you said yes to God. You said, yes, I believe that you are calling me, that you died for me, that you could be my Savior. Yes, come into my life, come into my heart, cleanse me, wash me, save me. And He did in that moment. I was traveling home at the end of the service last Sunday. And the older class weren't in because we didn't have a teacher for the older class. And Jesse, my grandson, 10 years old, sat in here. So as we were traveling home, Marilee said to Jesse, Jesse, you weren't in Sunday school this morning, so you were in the service. What did Papa preach? This is what Jesse, the 10-year-old, said. He said, Papa preached that if you're going to have progression in your life, you have to say no to the things that stand in your way. If a 10-year-old boy can get it, we can get it. You see, you know, I'm constantly amazed, and I've been in this kind of school of learning for a number of years and trying to understand why. So when I go to some countries, there are so many miracles that happen. I'm almost accidentally. I mean, it's only after meetings that I find out how many miracles, the different kinds of miracles took place, besides all the ones that are so obvious with people jumping and dancing and throwing stuff around and carrying on because they've been healed or whatever. And then I traveled some other countries, and they have the same Bible. They have a better technology, etc. They hear much of the same sorts of messages about faith and healing and the miraculous, but the number of miracles is much more sporadic. This has bothered me. I don't know if it has ever exercised your mind, but it bothers me. Because I know God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He's cross-cultural. He's transcendent. He goes beyond every geographical boundary. It doesn't make it. He's just the same. It's the same God. So I've been searching this. And today I believe God showed me something. And I want to share that with you because I believe it's so vital to what's going to happen today in this meeting. I want to give you something that's so simple, just like saying no. You have to start off by saying no. If you don't say no to stuff, you automatically, the default position is to accommodate, to begin to live with it. I know. And then, of course, what you've lived with for a long time, it's kind of like what Clive was saying earlier. What you've lived with for a long time, You have more of an unwitting settled belief that this is going to continue. But I love the Gospels because the Gospels give three occasions where the Bible tells how long their condition was, and they got healed. And I know about that. I had a condition 17 years. I don't have it today. And so, that's why we're talking about faith. God says, I want you to learn to live a different way. I want you to learn to live a different way. And everything in your life has to do with faith. Your family, your friendships, your relationships, your ministry, your aspirations, your desires, your needs, your hang-ups. Everything has a faith component. So just think for a second, if you were the devil, if God said to you, look, I will deliver into your life the most amazing, miraculous things that will bless you and cause your life to be a blessing. If you put your faith in me, and your faith in me comes by hearing, if you were the devil, what would you attack? You would attack your hearing. Because if you don't hear, you don't believe. It's that simple. If I don't hear, I don't believe. Faith comes by hearing. So he has all kinds of things to attack my hearing so I don't. Yeah. Now, on page 3 in your notes there, it says, the spirit of faith. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13 tells us that faith is a work of the Holy Spirit. Faith comes by hearing. God says you won't live unless you hear every word that comes out of the mouth of God. That's the voice of the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13, he's called the Spirit of faith. The same Spirit of faith. So there's something in the spirit realm that has to do with the Holy Spirit and you, in which you hear the voice of the Lord, and with the voice of the Lord, you mix that voice that is unmistakably given to you as the voice of God, and faith comes. Everybody say, faith comes. When faith comes, miracles take place. When faith comes, miracles take place. Miracles don't take place if faith doesn't come. And faith doesn't come if hearing doesn't come. So back to what I said, if you were the devil, what would you want to make certain? That you never ever heard a voice you were sure was God. You could hear a lot of voices, get a lot of information, but he wants to make sure you never ever hear the voice of God. That's how he kept you in darkness for so long. You hear a lot of other voices. And you have to be aggressive. Let's just look a couple other verses here. In a few moments, I want to share with you the story of what happened to me this week and give you the word, I believe, that can make your life radically different. Romans 4 and verse 19. It says, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Okay? I want to help us all here. He faced the fact. I never suggest to people they don't face the facts. If I came in here with one leg next Sunday and you said, Pastor, what happened to your leg? I would not be doing well to say, what are you talking about? You could see I had one leg missing. And that would be a fact. But this, our Father of the faith, teaches us something here, very important. Because the system only wants you to go with the facts. Are you with me? The facts are only based upon this world. There's something superior to facts. Now, I know that lots of people are going to have trouble with about what I'm about to say, but it's here in the Bible. This is, the Bible says, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, and Sarah's womb was dead. His body's dead, Sarah's womb is dead. He faced that fact, but he said there's a truth that's superior to facts. So he says, I cannot live based upon the facts. And you will. One or the other. You will live based on the facts or the truth. It's a choice we make. You know, God has pretty strong feelings about this. He says in the book of Hebrews, let's just turn over there. Hebrews 4 and verse 3 says, now we have believed, who have believed, enter that rest. just as God has said. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. All right, I'm not going to dig into that whole passage, but here's my point. This is so significant to God. God said, when you try to do what I already did, I get angry. I mean, that's the New Testament. He said, when you try to do what I already did, I get angry. You're saying what my son did on the cross and the price he paid wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. Oh, I didn't see it like that, Pastor. Well, from today. So, what is he? How do you get into this? Well, let's move over to John 10. We'll come back to Hebrews in a moment. John 10. And verse 3. It says, the watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. Who's the watchman? Jesus. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has gone, brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. He doesn't say because these are smart sheep and they know what to do. Come on now. I have been really smart sometimes, but my smart is really stupid. Hello. Maybe you're unlike me. But the Bible says here, the sheep follow, not because they go to church, because they own a Bible. They even have a Bible on their smartphone. He says, the sheep follow the shepherd by virtue of his voice. His voice. His voice. Why? The shepherd is invisible. The shepherd's invisible. So you can only follow your shepherd today by his voice. You got to hear his voice. Let's look at John 5:25. On 5:25. Says, I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. How many of you are dead here today? You say, Pastor, I feel like I'm dead sometimes. Let me tell you, God's voice can even penetrate a dead body. Hello? Dead bodies have ears. So, let's deal with something that often I hear people say. Well, you know, I just can't seem to hear the voice of God. Are you dead? Maybe deaf, but not dead. So I want to help you today and help me today in the most simple and yet profound way in which faith begins to work at another level in your life. He says the dead. So let's just draw a line here today about from today and all of your past. You say, well, you know, I didn't hear God, and so I tried this and that, and I've been suffering this. Okay, let's draw a line. Forgetting those things which are behind, let's start from today. God wants you to hear and believe today and enter into a new stream of faith in your life that you've never been in before. So let's get this key, because in a moment here, I'm going to give you a word, the word God gave me. I'm going to tell you the story. In Hebrews chapter 4, well, let's do Hebrews 3 first. Hebrews 3 and verse 7 says, "So as the Holy Spirit says," remember, it's a voice that comes from the Spirit or by the Spirit. And so that's one of the reasons why you want to get baptized and baptized in the Holy Spirit ASAP after you give your life to Jesus, because you want as much Spirit, Holy Spirit of God activity, sensitivity and discernment going on in your life as you possibly can. Because if you don't hear the Spirit's voice, then you don't have faith. If you don't have faith, you don't see the miraculous. And life is tough. So here he says, "So as the Holy Spirit says today," everybody say, "Today."
Today.
Say it again, "Today."
Today.
Say it again, "Today."
Today.
If you hear His voice, hear His voice. Now, in a moment I'm going to give you this word, but I want every person here to receive it. And so I'm going to tell you from Hebrews 4 how to receive it. Nobody had ever told me this, but it's right here in the manual. I want you to get this today and live with it the rest of your life. Here's what it says. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, since the promise of entering His rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it." So he's really saying there's a place of the blessing of God, the provision of God that's called rest. And he said, "I don't want anybody to miss out. I don't want anybody to miss out." And he says, "For we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did." Who is he talking about? He's talking about the Old Testament saints. But listen to this. "But the message they heard was of no value to them." You know, you think about it. How many messages have you heard? How many of you know more than you live? Hello. Four of you. The rest of you are just about to be raptured. It says the message they heard was of no value. How can he say that? If God preached the gospel to the old covenant believers, and now he's preached, he says, how come it was of no value? He says, because those who heard it did not combine it or mix it with faith. So they had the truth. God was a healer. He was a provider. Look at all the miracles. All those miracles was the gospel being preached to them. God says, "You're in captivity. I take you out." God says, "You don't have water. I provide water." God says, "You can't go forward. I give you the way forward." The gospel was preached to them. But he said it was of no value to them because they didn't mix it with faith. So the writer to the Hebrews says, I don't want you to miss it either. And so here's the danger. The danger and the incredible opportunity of power. But here's the danger. Is that we can collect an awful lot of messages. We can hear, you can go online, Christian TV, internet, CDs. And you can hear, I've heard thousands and thousands and thousands of messages in lots of different ways. But God says they heard it too. But He says of no value. No value. Was it the Word of God? Yes, it was. Is God in His Word? Yes. But He says of no value. Why? Because they didn't mix it with faith. They didn't combine it with faith. So how does this work? We provide for ourselves. If you were a smart thinking Christian, you think, I need to get as much of the Word and the voice of God and information and grow in grace and knowledge as I possibly can. And so you read books, you listen, you watch, you try to take as much in as you can. But the simple fact is, if it isn't mixed with faith, it's of no value. How do you move from the collection of truth to the dynamic power of faith? Here it is. It's so simple. It's so simple. I could stand up here and say, okay, somebody's going to be healed today. And in your brain, you could say, yeah, I'm sure somebody will be. Somebody will be. Yeah, I'm sure somebody will be. Somebody will be. You heard the word. We all heard the word. Somebody's going to be healed today. But you didn't mix it with faith. So it's of no value. So if everybody's doing that, they're thinking, oh yeah, the one's going to be healed. So how do you do it? How does the hearing of the word get mixed with faith? Here it is. In a simple nutshell. And I want you to grasp this, because in a minute I'm going to share with you the word God gave me for you. When you hear the voice of the Lord, however it comes to you, you say, this is the voice of God for me right now. It's like one of our sister Regina testified one time here. She said, Pastor, you called people out and you said, you know, if you're starting back to uni, that God was going to bless you. We prayed for you. And one other thing I said, you're going to not have any debt. You know, she didn't hear me. She heard me, but she didn't hear me. She came up here and testified. She didn't hear me, but she heard me. You know who she heard? She heard him. She said, that's God speaking to me. And her situation looked impossible. But she heard God. And she went back with no debt. Everybody else that was out the front that received the blessing, I don't know about them. Probably some of them had no debt, some of them did. But the difference is, one we know didn't hear me. She heard me. But she said, that's God speaking to me. That's God speaking to me, and this is the voice of the Lord. And so you can look at your life and say, well, yeah, I go to service, I leave service, I go to service. That's just part of the pattern of my life. And you know, it's amazing how sometimes once in a while a piece of bread flies through the air, hits me in the head, and I think, wow, yeah, that was good. And that's how I live. Been a while since I had a piece of bread hit me in the head. But it's kind of why it's hit me in the head. So I'm collecting a lot of bread over time. But where is the operation of faith that produces the miraculous in every area of my life, the John 10:10 life? It has to come from hearing the voice of the Lord. It has to come when we are in a place to hear the voice of the Lord, and it's consistent with this book. We don't say, oh yeah, that was a good word, Pastor, that was a good word. No, that was a word for me. You take it personally. This is God speaking to me. In a moment, God's going to have a fresh opportunity to speak to you. And you can walk out of here saying, oh yeah, that was good. That's good. Yeah. Or you can say, you know, I mixed what I heard today with faith, because I took personal possession and ownership. Abraham said, you know, science tells me my wife's womb is dead. God knows I'm just about dead. I'm 100 years old. 100-year-old men don't father children. That's science. But he said, I heard the voice of God.
Yes.
I say no to the facts, and I say yes to the voice of the Lord.
Yes.
And the Bible says, without weakening in his faith, he carried it. God, you said it. You said it. I heard it. Oh, yes. I believe you. I believe you, Lord. I believe this wasn't just, you know, a conversation. This was the voice of the Lord. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing. Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing. Something happened inside of me, Dad. I know Sarah and I. Oh, yes. We're going to have a child. And we're going to be a blessing to the nations. That's in here. Woo! I got it. Abraham, what's your name? Abraham's my name. Father of many nations. How many children you got? I got a nation inside of me. I got a nations inside of me. Oh, yes, I do. You're crazy. Yeah, but I've heard from God. I've heard from the Lord. I believe. It's here. Because I heard God speak. And it wasn't just kind of general. It's for us. It's for now. Yeah, but what about that? Yeah, it's for us. Without weakening in his faith. So God says, I like to speak into your life on this, on that, and this, and that, and this, and that. I like to tell you a whole bunch of things. But he says, the thing is, you know all the promises already. You know all the promises. You can quote the promises. You got this promise, you got that promise. But what have you heard me say? It's a spirit thing. And when the Holy Spirit speaks, then just like on the day you got saved, your spirit man said, yeah, I believe that's God. I believe that God is calling me out of Egypt into Canaan. Yes, Lord, I say yes to you. I knew the gospel so well. From the time I was a little boy, I wasn't quite 13 in my own room. There was no CD playing. There was no Christian television in existence. And this 12-year-old boy heard a voice. I heard a voice. Well, Pastor, how did that come? It wasn't audible. Sometimes God can speak audibly, or does. But I heard it inside me. And for me, this was so real. I'll tell you how real it was. It was so real. I got out of my bed, and I got down on my knees, and I talked to God like He was in my room. When you hear God's voice, it's unique. It's different than anybody else's voice. And the devil comes and says, oh, that's just a crazy thought. Doesn't he? That's just you making it up. God says, no, you're one of my sheep. I want you to know my voice so you can follow me in green pastures. You've been in the desert. Let's go to the green pasture. You've been in the desert long enough. Let's go to the green pasture. How do I do that? Just follow my voice. Just follow my voice. I'll lead you. Today, if you'll hear His voice. On Wednesday, I worked some manual labor. And actually, I was helping Jared move house. Anybody ever moved house? It's not light work. So when I went to bed, I was really tired. And most of the time, my work just kind of tires my head. When I went to bed, I was really tired. And, you know, at this juncture in my life, I don't sleep a lot of hours. A great mystery. But anyway, this night I went into a deep sleep. in the middle of the night. And I can only tell you how I understand it, because I wouldn't do this to myself. God woke me up in the middle of the night. And I heard His voice so clearly. And He said, I want you to make note of the time. And then He said, I want you to get up and go downstairs and write down what I tell you. And this is what I said to Him. Lord, I'm really sleepy. And He said, you can go back to sleep after I talk to you. Note the time. Go downstairs and write down what I'm going to tell you for the people of God. I said, okay. So I went downstairs and turned on my laptop. And I wrote down what God said. And I'd like you to stand to your feet right now. And if you're watching this program on YouTube or listening to it on the internet, I want you to know it is no accident that you're about to hear what you're about to hear. God made an appointment with you to hear today what you're about to hear. And if you have the hearing of faith that says, I know when I hear God speak, and I'm going to take it, I'm going to mix it with faith by saying, yes, that belongs to me. That's God speaking to me. That's God speaking into my life. That's God speaking to my situation. I'm having that. This isn't analysis time. This is apprehension time. This is hearing God's voice and saying, yes. Yes, Lord, I take that. So just close your eyes for a moment right now. I want to pray. And then I want to speak this word that God told me to write. Father, thank You that You made us to be Your sheep, to hear Your voice. And Lord, right now, we put our feet on every lie of the devil. We put behind us our past and all of its failures and disappointments and wounds. All of that stuff that can't be changed. And we say, today, Lord, today we will hear Your voice. We will hear Your voice. We will hear Your voice. We will take it not just generally, but we'll take it as You are with each of us, profoundly personal. We know our steps have been ordered by You, and that's why we're here today, to hear the message that we're about to hear. And Lord, we're gonna take this from You today. Because our pastor was awakened in the night and given this word for me today. It was given for me today. I want you to say that it was given for me today. Say it aloud if you're in your living room watching this or listening. This word was given for me. Here's the word of the Lord. Just stay tuned to hear His voice right now. All I did was I sat down and I typed what He wrote. What He said. So, don't miss this moment. The miracles that are behind your faith will change your life. Seventeen points. I'm not going to preach them. I'm just going to give them to you just as God gave them to me. Number one, the financial drought is over. From today, you will see the flood of finances that will come from your faith and your sowing. Number two, the end of your condition in your body is now.
Amen.
You have carried the oppression of illness for some conditions for a long time. Today, in your communion, you will be healed.
Amen.
Number three, your business was not a human experiment, but it came from me. From today, I will cause it to expand and prosper. And you will need to hire others and to plan wisely to handle the increase. Number four. The wall that has held you back has now fallen flat. The limitation that has frustrated you and at times has angered you is removed.
Amen.
Number five. I don't claim to know what all these things mean to you, but I know if you're hearing His voice, you'll know. Number five, there is no cage any longer.
Amen.
Number six. The thief is found out and your sevenfold restoration is declared from today.
Amen.
What brought such dismay and sorrow and loss will turn from today into some wild dancing and joy.
Amen.
Your promotion, which was withheld, is now yours for the taking. Don't be suspicious of it because it marks the beginning of several more promotions. The loved ones who have wandered in pain and deception and brokenness are returning to me and to the family from today. Here they come. Receive them as the prodigal was received, with love and honor and blessing, not reluctance or hesitation. You are freed to speak with boldness to friends, neighbors, and workmates, the testimonies, and to boast about your God. From today, they will hear where they have seemed disinterested in days gone by.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Number 10. You will have from today some difficulty in explaining the increase and supernatural deliverance that comes to your life because it is so out of the ordinary.
Amen.
Nevertheless, be faithful to tell it. I will cause it to penetrate beyond the mind of logic.
Amen.
Number 11. You will discover a new level of laughter from today.
Amen.
As you rejoice in your breakthroughs and blessings.
Amen.
The medicine of heaven will heal you deeply where the scars and wounds of failure and betrayal have given you heavy feet.
Yes.
Laughing and dancing is your portion. Yes. Don't miss this particular visitation to your life. Change beyond what you realize is coming today to your soul life. Number 12. From today, you'll see how the Father's hand of blessing can turn what has been against you into what is in your favor.
Amen.
From today, keys, yes, keys, plural, are given to you.
Amen.
keys of ownership, keys of access, and keys of acceptance to new levels that have belonged to you that you did not know. They will be brought to you. You will boast in the favor, and others will be jealous and take interest in the God who has made it all possible. Number 14. The educational opportunity you have sought will be open to you from today. It will only be a step released by me to take you to a place of influence for me and enable your financial and spiritual success and influence to testify of me. Number 15. The desert wind of poverty has blown. But from today, the rains of refreshing and the supernatural harvest fall upon you. A new era of increase and prosperity will shock and amaze your natural mind, but give you opportunity to boast about your God. Even your neighbors will wonder how you seem to have what you didn't have before. I said 17, 16. Number 16. Debt from today is canceled. Yes. Debt belongs to Egypt, not my people. The handwritings of ordinances against you are being destroyed, removed, and are disappearing inexplicably. You will no longer live in debt land. I've been God's voice, peace. Galatians says that God does miracles among us because we hear and believe. In a few moments here, we're going to change this sanctuary and put up tables and have a great feasting celebration. But one of the things that God spoke was about healing. And He said that your healing would spring forth in the partaking of communion. Amen. So you can take any exclusion, or you can say, yeah, that was God speaking to me. That was God speaking to me. I'm going to go partake of His body and His blood. I'm going to mix the partaking of His body and His blood by believing that it was for me today to experience my healing. And so I want you to just come. If that's you, take your healing right here at the table. It's there. It's there. Take it. Receive it. Partake of it. Partake it in faith today. There's a river of healing that's flowing in here right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for wholeness. We receive your wholeness today. I receive your wholeness today. Go ahead. Partake of your healing. When you receive the body and the blood, just partake of it. Just partake of it. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We heard you today. We say yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, thank you, Lord. I know normally we wait and partake together, but you take your healing today. You take the medicine of heaven right now. The provision of wholeness and health. That's what you're taking right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Faith is profoundly personal. Thank you, Lord. You love me so much. You made this moment for me. You made this moment for me. Go ahead and partake of it. You know what you're sensing right now is the Father who loves you. When the Word of the Lord penetrates something, the awesome power of God changes it forever. Stand to your feet if you would, please. I didn't tell you one personal part. Remember I said to you, God said, I want you to note the time. Hey, God's never ever said that to me. So I noted the time. It was 2:07 in the morning. So when I got downstairs, I'm just telling you about my conversation with him. I said, Dad, what's the 2:07? He said, son, that's your birthday. This marks a new beginning for your life. And if it's a new beginning for your life, it's a new beginning for the family.
Amen.
I could have awakened at 2:09 or 2:11 or any other time. Any other time. God says, make note of the time. Make note of the time. 2:07. That's my birth date. So what I'm telling you today, whether you think so or not, I've heard from heaven. I've heard from him. And his message wasn't just for me. I know it was for every one of us. And I'm going to give you a copy of this. But the most important thing is that you remember, faith comes by. So if you're wise, you will go online and you'll get this spoken by the voice of the Lord. You'll hear my voice, but you won't hear mine. And you'll do just like Regina did. Said that was God speaking to me about my situation, my life. It wasn't just the pastor preaching that day. That was the voice of the Lord. It is a solemn moment because where God's taken us. You know, one of the things that God said to the next generation was when they got ready to go into the land, he said, take your shoes off. Why? It's holy ground. What's it mean? It's a ground set apart. It's a different way of walking. Different way of walking. Hearing his voice is a different way of walking. Whatever stuff there is, it's just one hearing of faith away from being changed. One hearing. Let's pray one more time before we clear the sanctuary and bring up tables and celebrate leaving this place. Father, I'm so grateful that you love us so much. I'm so grateful that my life didn't pass further before I heard this word from heaven. And as we stand this day on our journey, like Israel did at several times in their journey, the thing most precious to us is your voice. Because we know when we hear your voice, our faith is quickened and there's miracles on the way. You're pleased when we believe you. Thank you, Lord, that from today we learn to walk at another level. we hear your voice and we say, yes, yes, I'm traveling with that. Just like Abraham traveled with the voice that he heard. We're here because he did. We're here because he did. He was faithful to travel with the voice. Thank you, Lord. We'll sing one song. I receive the favor of God. For the favor of God is on me. Take your shoes off. The favor of God. Favor of God is on me. Favor of God is on me. The righteousness which I have done, according to his mercy, he saved me. I receive the favor of God. Favor of God is on me. I possess the favor of God. The favor of God is on me. I confess the favor of God. The favor of God is on me. Doors open, money comes, sick bodies are made well. All because the favor of God, the favor of God is on me. I confess the favor of God, the favor of God is on me. I confess the favor of God, the favor of God is on me. Now sing it to your neighbor, on you. Confess darkest place, fear. Please away, all because the favor of God, the favor of God is on you. I confess the favor of God, the favor of God is on you, you, you. I confess the favor of God, the favor of God is on you. Favor of God is on you. I confess the favor of God. The favor of God is on me. One more time, I confess. I confess the favor of God. The favor of God is on you, you, you. I confess the favor of God. The favor of God is on you. The favor of God is on you. Yes, come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, we're going to clear the chairs to one side, bring the tables up, and we're not just going to eat. We are going to have a feast of favor as we celebrate leaving this building. Just play a little bit. Play, Marilyn, play for a little bit longer.
Jesus.